I think I want to talk a little bit tonight about the desire for truth. It's not uncommon. In fact, it might be a universal recognition in spiritual teachings that the desire for truth is the one absolute prerequisite to being finished with the fitful slumber in our lives. I mean, I don't know of anyone who enters the spiritual path in order just kind of lackadaisically, like you would turn on the TV. People enter the spiritual path because nothing in their life has worked. Because everything that we've tried, all of our efforts to make life acceptable and comfortable, just acceptable, let alone comfortable, have failed. All of our efforts to acquire understanding, education, money, power, sex, perfect relationship, social position, whatever the particular and shifting ideas we might have of what it is that will make life satisfactory. Everything we've done in order to attain and acquire these things has failed. Nothing works. For some of us, it takes quite a long time to own up to that. You know, we are stubborn and hold on to the idea that if I can just get smart enough, or if I can just get rich enough, or if I can just find the right life partner, or if I can get power, that's what'll do it. If I can get the things that I need, that's what'll do it. Some of us, it takes quite a long time to own up to the fact that nothing we've done has worked. And generally speaking, it is, even if that realization is subconscious and unacknowledged, it is that realization that moves us into spiritual seeking. It's the same old seeking, same old strategies, the same old techniques that we have used so unsuccessfully in the material world, but then we bring it to the spiritual world and try to find something that we can get or understand or some state that we can attain, because nothing else I've done has been successful, perhaps here. I mean, everybody says that this is really what I want. Maybe it is. Maybe I can find a way to get this awakening or this enlightenment or this realization that all the books and all the teachers and all the teachings talk about, this God consciousness, whatever name brings us, draws us. And we try the same stuff. We try to understand. We try to get better. We try to fix ourselves to make ourselves more fragrant to God's grace. And that doesn't work either. We change teachers, we change teachings, we change what books we read, and because this is really kind of the path of last resort, this spiritual seeking business. If this doesn't work, there ain't nothing else. We've already been through everything else. This is it. So we are really reluctant in this spiritual search to own up to the fact that what we're doing doesn't work. Yes, right, we get feeling really good and we get high and we get filled with bliss and open-heartedness and so forth when we read spiritual utterances or go to spiritual meetings or do our meditations or our pujas or whatever. But they don't last. They have no more permanence to them than does the good feeling that I get when I get a new car, or a new lover, or a new job, or finally understand some particularly subtle and deep intellectual problem that has plagued me. Like all other things in this life that we have sought after and gotten, it doesn't do it. Comes and goes. And it takes us a long time in the spiritual arena. Really, it's horrifying to contemplate that maybe this too just ain't going to work out. Maybe life really is just sucky. Not worth living. Because if we fail at this, there's no place else to go. There are some consolation teachings, some consolation ideas in spiritual practice about reincarnation and having to acquire merit over lifetime after lifetime, but that doesn't cut it either. That's just something we perhaps could get a hold of in order to keep going. Oh, if I don't get it now, I'll get it the next life. Maybe I didn't do enough sadhana in the previous lifetimes. But that's a consolation. That's not what we're after. We're after what all of the great ones have seemed to radiate. We're after what all of the spiritual utterances seem to have promised us, which is an end to our searching, which is the recognition of the fullness of life. And if what we're doing doesn't work, what else are we going to do? This recognition that all I have been doing, whether material or spiritual, doesn't work, is an absolutely essential realization. It's necessary. It's maturity. It really has to be faced. What I'm doing doesn't work. I mean, I can get by, but I've always been getting by. But it doesn't give me what I expect of it. It doesn't give me what I think it has promised me. No matter how devoted I am, no matter how serious and sincere I am, no matter how disciplined I am with my practice, still, something's missing. When that recognition dawns, what possibly dawns with it is the recognition that what I really want, because this is the crux of it, we think we know what we want because we've been told what we want. We want enlightenment. We don't know what that stuff is. We have an idea of it, but we don't know. But what I really want, really, the only thing that ever will satisfy, is the truth. The truth, finally, indisputably. That's what brings an end to the search. The truth, no matter what it is. And what do I want to know the truth about? Well, not things. I mean, I kind of know the basic truth about things. They come and go. They sometimes are likable, sometimes are detestable, most times are pretty much irrelevant. Science has taken upon itself the task of finding out the truth about things, and what they have done hasn't worked either. They've gotten no closer than we have to finding out the truth about things. The most advanced investigation into the truth about things has led science to a theory that about which nothing can be done to prove or disprove it. So it's not the truth about things. What I really need to know the truth about is me. This is critical. What I really need to know the truth about is me. What am I? Now, the curious thing about this whole business of the question, what am I? Actually, really, not what am I spiritually or what am I, just what am I with reference to nothing else? What am I? The curious thing about this is that it's my experience that it is this undercurrent of the need, previously unacknowledged, to know what I am, that has driven all of my foolhardy, futile efforts to get or to get rid of states, things, people, relationships, goods, understandings, everything I have sought to get or get rid of has been driven precisely by this unacknowledged fire of desire to know what I am. Because everything that I have sought to get and get rid of, I have done in order to understand this person that I believe myself to be, or to construct and become a person that's acceptable to me. Consider that for a minute. It's really true. I get things because it says something about me, whether they are material things or immaterial things. I get these things because they say something about me. They flesh out my picture of myself. I am a scientist. I am a philosopher. I am a husband. I am a wife. I am a child. I get rid of things, thoughts, experiences, emotions, relationships, goods, all these things, because I don't like them to be a part of me. My whole life, in my experience, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but my whole life, in my experience, has been spent trying to construct and hold together a coherent picture of me that I can say, that's me. And every moment, every second, that picture of me that I am trying to hold together by desperately drawing on memory of my past actions, my past triumphs, my past failures, by watching what's going on here, by watching my thoughts, by paying close attention to what I know and what I don't know, what I understand and don't understand, that whole arena, that whole circus is done in order to create and maintain a coherent picture of me that I'm satisfied with. And since there's nothing whatsoever about this picture of me that is coherent, that is even sane, that is lasting, since it is forever shifting and changing, coming and going, I am forever working. Oh, this, I got to get rid of this. I can't be thinking these things. I can't be doing these things. I have to be doing these other things. Until finally, it dawns on me that nothing I've been doing has worked. I am still the same wishy-washy, phantasmagoric, moving, shifting, untrustworthy persona that I have always been. And that's when I fall into the spiritual seeking. Still with the same thought in mind, I am going to be the Buddha. Then I'll be okay. And I'll be the Buddha because I've read all these things and I understand all these things. I know all is one. Or no, that's not right. It's not two. That's what it is. It's not that it's one, it's that it's not two. I know that the universe is non-dual. I know that mind is an illusion. I know that my identity is illusion. I got all that. I know how to practice and meditate so that I create states of, wow, oceanic consciousness, bliss. That's it. But these understandings don't hold up. I mean, you can be you can understand as deeply as you can the non-duality of reality, and it'll do you no good in the world of having to earn a living and go buy groceries and fight with a landlord and get given tickets by the cops and watch the government as it abandons people in a lake of filth and starvation. So my effort to create a spiritual identity that is satisfactory, that is stable, coherent, and lasting, has no more success than my previous attempts to create a material identity that's coherent and sane and lasting. Doesn't work. But what's been driving all of this? I say that what's been driving all of this has been this pure, clear, uncompromising need to know what I am. I say that that's what's been driving the whole show. The whole engine of suffering is this fire of need to know what I am. Diverted and deflected into objects of acquisition and aversion. Now the point of this is that this desire, which in my experience is the desire that animates these forms, it's the force that animates these forms, it's the force that gives life and breath to all of us, that this desire is sacred. It is the life force. God knows from whence it comes. It's the life force. And it is the desire, the thirst, the unquenchable thirst, to know the truth of what I am. This is the only asset we have to be finished with our foolishness in this lifetime. This desire to know what I am. I have spoken to people and continue to speak to people, encouraging all to stop whatever they're doing. Now, to stop whatever they're doing, and instead to turn all of that energy and effort that has been put into useless suffering to discover the truth of what I am in the manner of Ramana's great radical offering of self-inquiry. And I can sometimes speak pretty convincingly of that. And sometimes people seem to hear and respond to the offer of self-inquiry as the only thing that's worth doing. Because it makes sense, because it resonates with us. But that too can be used, just like everything else, as a way to divert and deflect this sacred desire into objects of acquisition and aversion. I'm doing self-inquiry so I can get self-realized, not hearing the announcement by all of the great ones that there's nothing you can do to attain realization. Nothing. There's nothing you can do to attain enlightenment. Nothing. That is all foolishness. You are. Absolutely, just as you are. Awareness itself. Realization itself. So the intellectual acceptance of self-inquiry falls short. The emotional acceptance of self-inquiry falls short. The Buddhists have said, so I hear, that this quest for an end to misery and suffering must be entered into with the urgency with which a man with his hair on fire seeks water. This is really important to see. In my sense, what's being referred to here is this fire of need to know what I am. And if I see that that's what animates me, that's what gives me life and breath and consciousness itself, that's what gives me the experience of separate existence, that's what drives my every breath, my every thought, my every move. If I really see that this desire to know what I am is at the root of it all, that's all that's needed. All that I need to realize is that that's what I want and nothing else. Nobody anywhere, not Ramana Maharshi, not Gangaji, not Papaji, not God itself, can tell you what you are. Nobody. Nobody anywhere can tell you how to discover the truth of what you are. How foolish is that? Here you are. You cannot deny that. Here you are. Nobody can tell you how to find that. People can tell you things that lead you away from the reality of what you are. Nobody can tell you anything to direct you to the reality of what you are. Only this desire. Only this true, pure, clear desire to know the truth is needed. If this is seen, if it is seen clearly, directly, truly, within your own consciousness, that this is what it's all about. This is what you have been drawing breath for. Nothing else. Not to get rich, not to get famous, not to get smart, not to get pleasure, not to get pain, not to do good, not to alleviate suffering. All you have been drawing breath for is this chance to find the truth of what you are. If you really see that, the game is over. And until you see that, all the rest is just empty chatter. That's my experience. When you see that there is no force whatsoever other than this force to know the truth, you're home. This force to know the truth of what I am. There's nothing else. The whole game is made up of that. The whole show. The world and everyone and everything in it is made up of that. And that's all that's needed. If you see that, then surely there is some help that can be given. But if you see that, you can't be tricked anymore. You can go to sleep again for short periods of time, but you can't be tricked anymore. Once you know what you're here for, you can't be tricked into thinking that what you're here for is to get enlightenment, or to get a new car, or a new lover, or wealth, or poverty. What you're here for is to know what you are, to know yourself. And since you are ever-present, undeniable, is it possible for anybody here to deny that they exist? Since that is the case, how hard can it be to turn your attention to whatever it is that makes that impossible? How hard can it be, since everything that is done, everything that is thought, everything that is imagined, everything that is wanted or not wanted, has one thing in common, everything, I. That's the common denominator for it all, I. My life, my mind, my wife, my husband, my job, my enlightenment, my realization, my understanding, my sin, my failing, it's all about me. How hard can it be to turn this searchlight of attention, of focused attention, instead of on these dream objects, these fitful sleep characters? How hard can it be to put it to work looking for what this word I refers to? What is it about? Everything else is about I. What is I about? How hard can that be? Ramana tells us that if we will do this, all will be well. Not you will gain enlightenment, not your life will be transformed or transcended, not you will fall into nirvikalpa samadhi, all will be well. All will come out right in ways that you cannot imagine, that have nothing to do with the shape of your life, or have everything to do with the shape of your life. The most difficult thing about making this offer is that if I say to you, if you will do this meditation practice, sit quietly, assume a posture of whatever posture is needed, watch your breath, count your breath, out-breath, count your in-breath. If you will do that, then you will see a state arise within you of peacefulness and calm. If I tell you that, and you do that, and indeed the state arises in you of peace and calm, which of course goes as soon as you stop doing that, that's easy. If I tell you, if you will do this, this will happen, and this happens, something in particular, something limited, happens, that's easy. But if I tell you, if you will only devote all of your energy, if you will only see that there is only one desire in life, and it is the life force itself, and that is the desire to know what I am, and if you will only see that, and follow that desire inward to its source, to what this one-word story I is about, all will be well. But I can't tell you what that looks like. God can't tell you what all will be well looks like. That's a harder sell. But for those who see that the desire for truth is the whole show, for those who see that the desire to know the truth of what I am is all there is to me, that's my experience, all there is to me, then nothing needs to be sold. All will be well. Because everything you do will be done in service to that desire. Where am I? Where can I be found? What am I? What is my nature? How can I discover that? Where do I look? Do I look out here? No. So that's pretty much it. I don't have much to offer. I don't have much to say. I offer you the gift that is overlooked by most everybody. Ramana's gift of self-inquiry. Of just in this lifetime, in this moment, this isn't anything that has anything to do with what you did a moment ago. This is nothing that has anything to do with what you might do a moment from now. Just in this moment, find out what you are. Look for yourself. Look for whatever it is that feels like you. Forget about your spiritual understanding. Forget about ego or not ego. Forget about all of that. Forget about non-duality. Forget about consciousness. Forget about awareness. Just look for yourself. This is Ramana's radical, heretical, and precious gift. I suspect that it took Ramana to bring this to us, because Ramana himself, as a child, really a 16-year-old boy, before the whole cloud of spiritual understanding could take over him, before a whole history of seeking and failing could grip him, Ramana himself, spontaneously, by a movement of grace, and captured in a terror of imminent death, looked within to find out, what am I? What dies? If I have to persuade you that this is what you want, then none of this works. If you see that this is what you want, then you're done. Ramana says that self-inquiry is continuous and continues until the last breath. Not as a duty, not as a practice, not as any of that, as your nature. Self-inquiry continues to your last breath, whether you know it or not. Self-inquiry continues to the last breath of every human being on the face of the planet, whether known or not. Self-inquiry continues to the last breath, whether done foolishly by trying to fix the story of me, or done directly by discovering the reality of me. Self-inquiry is the whole of human experience. And the gift of Ramana is to give all of us the chance consciously to see what we're doing with our lives, what we're here for, and where to look. Here. And in this, all the wars stop. All the self-hatred stops. The thing to see in any exercise that's offered that has to do with self-inquiry. For example, even now, even any time, it's absolutely possible to close your eyes and just relax your attention. Just abandon any control of your attention. Just relax. If you do so, attention will naturally fall back into its source, which is your natural state, in which nothing is not seen. It's not some dark state, nerva culpa. It's your natural state, in which everything is seen. Everything. It's important to see that in any exercise, it's important to recognize in the moment, in any exercise that is connected with self-inquiry, what is discovered is not new. It's really critical to see that, because if what's discovered is new, then it will for sure get old and go away. You have never changed. You have never come and gone. So, as you look for yourself, whether it's by looking through the back of your head, through the back of your eyeballs, by energetic, and I tell you, in my experience, it was a quite energetic and desperate search for whatever it was that I was. By the time I came to Ramana's offering, I didn't care what I found as long as I knew the truth. Didn't care. If I found that what I had always suspected was true, that I was meat, rotting meat, so be it, but let me know. Anything that you do in the name of self-inquiry, you are looking for what's permanent. If you relax your attention and fall back into yourself, if you find something that's new, it's not what I'm talking about. If some new state arises, that's not what you're looking for. You are here. You have always been here. I tell you that when you find the actuality of your own nature, you will find that which has never appeared. There is no time that you can say that I was not here and now I am. But that does you no good. I don't see that, you know, here's the thing with spiritual teachings, right? I'm kind of hard on spiritual teachings. Here's the thing with spiritual teachings. Nothing whatsoever can be said about the truth that is true. Nothing. It's just impossible. It is for anyone who has been seeking to understand spiritual reality, this will be self-evident, that nothing true can be said about the truth. The problem with spiritual teachings is that they, for the most part, consist in the spontaneous utterances and outpourings of limited human hearts that have been broken open. And these utterances and outpourings are limited. They are very beautiful. They are inspiring. They are filled with the resonance of truth. But they are not true. None of them. No sutra, no Upanishad, no teaching, no preaching, no hymn, no matter how minimalist it may be, is true. It's too much. And in most spiritual teachings, there's a bait and switch going on. The bait part is enlightenment, self-realization, oceanic consciousness, eternal bliss, eternal life, whatever, something that can catch our attention and make us want it. Some state that which is never born, that which never dies. Their face before you were born. There's always some encouragement to want something. To me, this is the same old, same old. It is the same old diversion of this sacred desire to know the truth into objects of acquisition or aversion. I don't like impermanence. I want what's permanent. I don't like confusion and being fitfully asleep in the dream of my life. I want clarity and transcendence. I don't like being ignorant. I want enlightenment. And I have been fed a whole lot of stories about what enlightenment, self-realization, reality, and the absolute, and so forth is and is not. And that's what I want. In my view, that does us no good. I tell you that in searching for the truth of yourself, note well whether what you find is new. And if it is new, then it cannot be what you're looking for. I tell you that as guidance. But I can no more tell you what you are than I can fly to the moon by flapping my ears. I could tell you, I could maybe, if I were more eloquent, maybe I could weave a beautiful story that would once again pull away this thirst for the truth into something that you imagine to be what I am talking about. What I am talking about is you, just as you are. That's what I'm talking about. I am talking about you, the one who is sometimes taken by surprise by looking in the mirror and seeing this fading body, not recognizing yourself. I'm talking about you, the experience of being that all the stories of I are about. And I can't tell you what that feels like. How stupid can that be? I can't tell you that. I can tell you that it is you, and how in the world is it difficult for you to discover that? I can tell you that it's not new, that there's never a time when you have not been here. Can anybody deny that? Has there ever been a time, even in deep sleep, that you are not here? I could tell you that, which is what you already know. But what's required here is not some new or better way of speaking about reality. What's required is the recognition that what I want, the only thing I want, the only thing I have ever wanted, is the truth. That's the requirement. That's the prerequisite. Ramana said to somebody once who was talking about their state of ignorance and how difficult it was and how unenlightened they were, and Ramana said to this person something on this order. He said, the day will come when you will laugh. And on that day, absolutely nothing will be different than it is right now. You hear that? Nothing changed. Nothing made to stay. Nothing made to go away. Only this thirst for truth. Only this thirst to know what I am. Surrendered to. So, it's not my style to talk about reality. It's not, I don't know how to do that. The only thing I know how to do is to beg you, pray for you, fight with you, wrestle with you, make fun of you, yell at you, all in the effort to bring you to the recognition that all you want in life is to know what you are. Because I promise you, if you see that, it's over. The whole show is over. If you see that, all the second guessing, all the half stepping, all the well, yeah, but what? Yeah, but what about this? All that's gone. If you just see that one thing, what I want is to know what I am. Everything I have done has been in false service to this force. What I want is to know what I am. And all will come out right. Guaranteed. There is nothing but you anywhere to be found. Find yourself. There is nothing that is of any that can give you or take away anything from you. All effort to get or keep away is postponement, distraction. You are the absolute perfect realization of awareness, just as you are sitting here tonight, just as you are caught up in the fitful slumber of your life, just as you are in any state, in any time, in any condition whatsoever. And to know that, you need only for just a hair's breadth of a second, turn your attention inward, looking for the source of attention itself, looking for what you are. Thank you for this satsang. Thank you for your attention and your time. May all being know itself. Om Shanti.